This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji.
And we're continuing a conversation in the program about difficult issues, particularly from the news when they enter the conversation of young children. Stephen Dubner is with us. He told us the story of a headline picture in the New York Times that caused some sober discussions around his breakfast table. In the discussion we had last Friday about children's literature that evokes a post-apocalyptic world, we heard from Elizabeth Harris from Rockland County, New York.
I'm 17 years old, and when 9/11 happened, I didn't really know what to make of it. Both of my parents worked in the city, but I just kind of had to deal with it, suck it up, you know, every day is a risk. Yet on the other hand, I went to see WALL-E with my mom and found it completely terrifying because it seemed so plausible. And I realized my parents are always going to tell me that everything's going to be okay when I'm 10 years old, because that's what they need to tell me.
Elizabeth Harris is on the line. Elizabeth, you're not 10 anymore. I guess that's the lesson from that very emotional call you delivered to us last Friday.
No, I'm not 10 anymore.
Kind of hurts.
Yeah, it was hard to, you know, watch my mom go into the city every day. My dad goes in maybe 3 times a week and just worry about what might happen. But as time went on, you kind of forget about it, but it's still there.
You witnessed 9/11 in the way that a lot of people who live in the New York area did, being very, very close to that event. So it wasn't like a picture in the newspaper. So the issue was right there in your face. I guess what you're describing in your story that you told on the phone last Friday is over time you begin to learn how vulnerable you are and how the real world actually does intrude with its violence. And I guess, were you surprised that WALL-E was so scary?
I was, you know, because I realized by judging by the audience that a lot of kids were there and maybe they couldn't understand, you know, or see it the way I saw it, but it seemed real that the world could be made out of garbage and humans could de-evolve.
And nobody was sitting there saying it's going to be all right, Elizabeth. What's your advice for Stephen Dubner, who was trying to explain to his daughter recently, you know, what happened in a very, very violent-looking picture in the New York Times from Zimbabwe?
Well, you know, my mom didn't really know what to tell me when 9/11 happened, because at the time, nobody really understood what was happening other than just that there are bad people out there, but this is life, and you can't avoid life hiding in a closet or hiding under your bed, and either way, you still have to face what's going to be out there the next day.
Elizabeth, this is Stephen Dubner. I'm wondering, without meaning to nail your parents, is there anything that your parents did or said that in retrospect you wish they hadn't said or did?
I don't know. They're listening right now.
you can tell us, Elizabeth. It's okay.
Well, I guess, I mean, you know, they were scared too. But ultimately, you know, these are their jobs and this is how they're going to provide for our family. And they didn't have a choice either. So whether they were just as scared as I was, you know, I probably didn't see it because they wanted to appear strong for me, which in the long run was the way that they needed to.
Well, Elizabeth, I want to thank you so much for sharing that story and your experience when you called last Friday. It was really great for us to hear you, and it's great to talk with you on the air.
Okay, thank you.
And you can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
It really was very, very moving. Thank you, Elizabeth.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.